Hola,
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 hola, hola,
hola,
hola, hola, hola, hola,
hola, hola, hola, hola,
hola, hola, hola, hola,
hola,
hola, hola, hola, hola, hola, hola,
hola, hola, hola,
hola,
hola,
hola, hola, hola, hola,
hola,
hola,
hola,
hola, hola, hola,
hola, hola, hola,
no, y igual Adria,
Adria.
No, Adria.
Adria.
Make it Adria.
So how long did it take for you to train your fellow actors to say it correctly?
Oh, I'm still training them. They're still at it. I have like this nickname on every project that I do that it's just A. But as the day progresses, it becomes from an A to an A.
A.
A. A. And it's just not very nice. So people have slowly tried to say my name better and better, but it's not working.
So what do you think when a script like this comes across your desk and you read it?
I say, holy shit, what is this? When I first read it, I read it twice, like while I was sitting down the first time I read it. Because I kind of couldn't believe that someone could come up with a concept like this. And then I reread it, and, you know, I fell in love with Leandra the second that I read her part. And I was like, this is so weird. I'm not a big fan of scary movies. I'm like a very big, you know, vajayjay, I like to call it. It's like, oh, no! I'm like that person in the movie theater that is constantly screaming. And I was like, it would be so interesting to go into something that I'm not so used to doing or watching. It would be, it would do good for me. And I didn't see any monsters. I just saw characters going through situations that they had to defend themselves in. And I think that's what made it even scarier for me. I'm like, oh, you know, you're testing morals, you're testing values, you're testing character and all these people. And people that, you know, for example, Leandra becomes best friends with them. You know, they're friends, they've worked together for a long time. One of them is her lover, her boss, who she admires. And then all of a sudden, under certain circumstances, they become different people. And that, to me, was fascinating and what I loved about the script the most.
Yes, throughout the film, it's that moral dilemma that keeps going.
Yeah.
And, you know, how far will somebody go, and where do they cross the line?
Mm-hmm. So, and where is the line, really?
Yeah.
Like, where does that even come? I mean, for me or for Leandro, it's like, no, we have to find another solution that is not killing, that it's not harming one another. But how do you do that if someone is in control,
mm-hmm.
and you have no sort of control over this? So it's like that decision of, like, men, if we don't take it into our arms, they'll take it into theirs, and God knows who's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the scary part. So I think all the characters have very different perception of how they start dealing with it. So
mm-hmm.
it's hard. Where do you, how do you, I don't know. And we would all the actors would kind of all sit down and have a conversation, and every opinion that would come out was somehow justifiable. But at the end, we all agreed that, you know, killing someone is never the way to go, where violence is just never
mm-hmm.
the way to go. But, you know, James Gunn wrote it differently.
What would Adria, so what would Adria do?
Man, I don't know. I think I would be the one hiding.
Like Melanie?
I would definitely be more of a Melanie. You know, I this is the reason why I love Leandra, because she has the courage to go out and, you know, be a leader and tell people, all right, I got this, let's do this. Or be like an emotional support for the people that are, you know, trying to, or for the weaker ones. I wish I could do that, and I wouldn't know until I'm put in that situation. That's what I admire about my character. But in reality, I feel like I would just want to hide. Like, oh my God, this isn't happening.
Well, I was reading that you were a waitress.
Yeah.
So you must have seen all kinds of humans
and
their
activities. Yes. Tell me about it.
So probably applied in this situation where you did have these different type of personalities and how they would handle a stressful situation.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like being a waitress has helped me so much to be an actor. No, really, because you see
the rushes.
Yeah, you see certain people that are like, oh, I don't care if I have cream and sugar in my cup. I don't, whatever you want. Or you have other people that are like, you put a little too much sugar. Or certain, like, stupid specifications that you would never care about, but other people might. So it helps when creating characters, I believe me.
How do you take your coffee?
Just black.
All right.
Yeah. Just black.
Can't get that wrong.
No.
You know, this is a very physically challenging role.
Yeah.
As well. You know, did you have to go through any kind of training or coordination? Because I know there was stunt coordination that was happening here. A lot of fight choreography. You've got stairwells. You're traveling between floors. You're wearing heels.
I'm wearing heels.
You know, what kind of training did you have to go through in order to physically meet the challenges that Leandra demanded?
I think I took it upon myself to just constantly, and I do this pretty much all the time, just in order to be on high stamina while filming, you know, 3 months in Colombia, you kind of have to, you're filming 16, 12 hours a day, so you have to make sure that, you know, your stamina is on point. So I would do a lot of running, but nothing actually regarding the roles specifically. Like, I didn't have to go through training or anything like that. We were just kind of thrown in there and hoped everything went well. No, I'm kidding. We were really well protected.
And you didn't even get to use the axe to whack McGinley's character.
Who told you that?
Greg?
No, Greg is a liar. Greg is a liar. And I'm going to tell you why Greg is a liar.
Because tell us.
If you see the movie, because they started seeing me and I get really into it. And they're like, God, Adria, you're not going to do this scene. Because it was this one axe. It was like this mushy, I don't know how to say it. And like, the foam. So you have this foam axe that I started just, like, whacking. I mean, by the second time I whacked it, the thing broke. So then they brought out another one. So then they bring out another one, and I go like this, and I break it. Because I'm like, I want to just harm this, you know, this dude so badly. And I'm just, like, going for it.
I think at that point, everybody wanted it.
Yes. Even though I love him so much, personally. But I just wanted to freaking make it look as real as I could. So then Greg's like, yo, you broke both of the axes, man. Like, what are we supposed to do now? I was like, yo, get me the real axe. And he's like, no, we're not going to. The thing's super heavy. You're not going to be able to do it. I mean, look at you. And I was just like, look at me. Give me the axe. Give me the axe. So I call for the axe. They bring the axe. And the producers are in the back watching monitors. Greg is right next to me making sure that nothing happens. I have the stunt coordinators next to me. Everyone's making sure that nothing goes wrong. I'm like, you guys are a bunch of exaggerators. It's just an axe. Like, what can go wrong? And they started seeing that every time I would go with the real axe, because I was jamming it onto this, like, fake, like, head I had, and then pulling it back up, every time I would pull it up, Greg is like, you're just missing your back by, like, nothing. Because I would just whack it back. Then Greg got super scared, and Greg was like, I'm done. No, no, no. And the producers got super scared. I got super pissed off. I was like, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. I don't care if I get hurt. Like, I can do this. And they're all, like, trying to take care of me. So Greg ends up grabbing the axe, putting one of my shirts, and putting my jewelry on and everything. And he starts whacking. And as he's walking, I just, like, walk by. I'm like, yo, you have my shirt on and you have my jewelry, but you don't think that audience memo will realize that you have hairy ass arms and I don't. So you're not going to be able to use that. So if you watch the movie, it's my hand. That's the first thing I watched. I was like, it's my hand. It's mine. If not, you'd see all these white and black hairy, like, arms. And you don't. So I was like, you're a liar. That is not in the film. It's my arm.
It's my girl arms, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Well, he's got a delicate frame, so.
Oh, God.
Tell me what it was like for you to be filming down in Colombia. We spoke to some of your cast members on Valentine's Day. They had a nice screening that they hosted.
Mm-hmm.
And they told us that, you know, per diem, the living the life.
Oh, my
and
God. Wait.
What I want to know is, yeah, you're away from home. You're away from the States. But it's still a familiar setting, yeah? And the familiar food?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that. I think it's a familiar culture, and it's my language. So, I mean, I felt so free because I got to speak. I speak a lot better Spanish. So I could just talk, and I feel very safe when I'm in Latin America. I know the news tells you differently. I don't care. It's home. You know, if someone's going to come up to you, you're like, yo, bro, you're really gonna mess with me? Like, come on, man. Yeah. Give me a break. That's, like, my mentality. If you have, like, a positive mindset. So I went. I had an incredible time. I was able to, like, show the cast around a little bit because I had filmed Narcos there before. So I knew the restaurants and I knew kind of where to go. And all we did really was we filmed after filming, straight to dance salsa.
Nice.
So that's literally all we did. Almost everything. Salsa, salsa. Había cumbia, pero no soy tan buena con la cumbia. Pero salsa y merengue me defiendo, me defiendo. So, and by the way, Tony Goldwyn is an incredible dancer.
Ooh.
Yes, I was like, wait, are you sure you're American? I'm like, are you sure you're American? He's like, I'm 100%. That man can move and dance.
Dance.
Him good. Oh yeah, he knows all the turns. Yeah.
So bandeja paisa and grupo Nietzsche every evening.
Huh?
Bandeja paisa, which is the
oh yes, yes, yes.
And grupo Nietzsche, the salsa every evening.
Yes, probably. What was that place that we went to? Juan Rivera. Juan
Luis Guerra.
No. The place that we went to. I don't remember what it's called, but we were there almost every other night.
Like, you guys were already like a fixture.
Yeah, we were like a thing. We would walk in and be like, what's up? Everyone would like know us. We'd go straight to the dance floor. The food was great. Definitely a lot of aguardiente involved.
Sure. So at some point, I'm sure there was just as much of a familiarity when you would go to that office building, which was a working building.
Uh-huh.
So you would get like those, Greg was telling us that you guys would get some pretty weird looks as you guys were coming out drenched in blood.
Yeah, and you forget about it because you're covered in blood for so many hours and you're seeing other people covered in blood that it's kind of normal. And then I would walk out and be like, good night, have a good night. Or like I would just watch, as I'm getting in the car, there was like people taking pictures. I'm like, hi, nice to meet you guys. And they're like, what's wrong with her? Like, it's wrong with her. Or I would go and buy coffee right after. Sometimes we would have night shoots, so I would get back like at 7, 8, and I'm like, I'm not that tired, I'm just gonna get like a little coffee or a little snack or whatever. And I would go and buy stuff and people would just not even speak. I'm like, oh, I'm an actress, I'm filming, just give me my coffee.
Nobody asked if you were okay.
Just they were like, oh my god, is she okay? Or sometimes they wouldn't even really want to let me into the place.
Oh my god.
They're like, what? It looks like dry blood, so I think she's fine. Maybe she hasn't showered in like a couple of days. I don't know. But I get some weird looks. The people at the hotel were all like, it was normal. All
right.
They're like, oh, really bloody day today. Oh, it was an all right day. You survived today, didn't you?
So how long, because of the consistency of the fake blood and the cornstarch that goes into it, and all, how long did it take you to get out of your hair and off of you?
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah. It wasn't an easy process.
This is not a 5-minute shower.
No, this is not a 5-minute shower. But sometimes you're so tired, I would make it a 5-minute. I'd be like, I'm gonna get covered in blood again tomorrow. I'm just gonna be, I'm gonna clean myself, but not the blood, because she's gonna have to do it again.
She's gonna be on there.
I was trying to help the budget of the makeup
department.
And that you should have gotten the difference in the money that you saved them. They should have given
exactly
it to you.
Exactly. When you talk to James, tell him.
Well,
yes.
Show her the money.
Show me her money. I want it.
And, you know, I got to say, the paper cutter sequence is absolutely fabulous.
Mm.
You know, I have learned a new way to use a paper cutter now. As, you know, a new way to use a desktop scotch tape dispenser.
Yes.
You know, how tricky was that? Because obviously it was a real paper cutter.
Yeah.
Those screws are so tight on there, you've got bloody hands, slippery hands, and you're trying to get that screw out of there.
Mm-hmm.
How many takes?
We did a couple. We definitely did do a couple. Especially since my mom was there and I could hear her all the time. That's another funny story about what happens to me at the end, but I'll tell you later. So yeah, it was really, really, really tricky. So, but if At first, I started grabbing it with, I don't remember if it was like a paper, you can kind of see me doing
it. Like a paper clip or something.
Like a paper clip that had rubber on the top. So that kind of loosened it a bit, and then I was able to figure it out. But I'm one of those people that needs it back to tightness every take. I don't like the prop department coming and loosening it up a little bit. I just feel like the urgency, it's better to have it. So you're like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, he's gonna come. And it's harder. You're actually, there's an obstacle involved instead of just like.
And of course, you're trying not to slice your hand off with
the
paper cutter.
Exactly. So it was a process.
I was hoping that actually that your character and John Galvin's character would survive and that would have stayed romantic at the end.
I know.
But I was also thinking, like, could the perpetrator or the mastermind have let or allowed two survivors at the end? I mean, could there have been a scenario like this? What do you think? Or
I completely agree with you. I wish that would have happened, but I don't think that was the plan of the mastermind. I think, you know, there was supposed to be
only one.
Overall, it was a graceful death, though, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you got graced by bullet, I believe. My memory serves you right. So, you know, it was kind of like very...
Yeah.
I think it was very...
At least I died with some sort of
dignity.
That's
yeah.
the one that my mom... I heard her. My mom came to visit me in Colombia. My mom's like the sweetest woman you'll ever meet. She's like a 12-year... She has a 12-year-old's innocence. She's like just angelic. And she's sitting in monitors, which wasn't that far. Again, we're in office spaces, so you're talking about very short distances within one room to the next one. Mm-hmm. So we're filming. Greg calls action. I'm doing this scene, like the super intense scene with John, and I could hear my mother crying. She's like, adios mio, mi nena, mi nena, mi nena. And I'm just like, oh, so we got cut, and I literally just walked straight to my mom, as bloody as I was. I was like, mama, out. Mama, out. And she's like, mamita, no. I'm like, Jesus Christ, mama. Just go. Mommy, this is fake. It's fake. I'm not dying. Look, I can breathe. I'm right here. She's like, adios mio, I can't. And I was like, just go to my dressing room.
Go to craft services.
So sorry. Yeah, I'm like, go to craft services. No, because then she'll try to tell people how to cook, too. She's like, that's not food. That's not how you cook that.
Es una comida.
No, es una comida. No. So I'm like, just mom, just stay in my dressing room.
Oh, my God.
She's hysterical.
No, I feel your pain. My mother did that 38 years ago when I was working production.
Oh, yeah?
And we were doing a stunt on Hollywood Boulevard, a car chase scene, and she was on set, but it's, stay over here on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
No, she kept walking into the street because she wanted to see the cars coming down the street. And finally, they threw her off the set.
Oh,
no, but she kept coming into shot?
She kept walking into
God,
the street,
so
yeah.
Funny.
So I feel your pain.
That's so funny. Yeah, my mom just came to visit me now on Pacific, and I know when my mom's coming because I could hear her. It was 110 degrees, and the woman wore heels on a fabulous shirt, and I'm just like, "Mama, where are your tennis shoes? You're on a set, woman." She's like, "Yeah, but Scott Eastwood's here. Scott Eastwood's here," and I was a big fan of Clint Eastwood. So hello, I'm like.
Speaking of Pacific Rim, can you tell us about your
roles?
Yes.
I play a mechanics. So I build these. I help build these Jaegers. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's not as cliche as I was like, oh, I'm probably gonna be a pilot or something. And the fact is that it's pretty cool because I have a big responsibility. I have to make these bad boys run, and I have, you know, these two pilots' lives in my hands. So it's kind of very. Go-getter, I'm freaking working, and it's a fabulous role, I think, for a woman.
Yeah.
I'm a mechanic.
You're not the love interest.
Exactly. I kind of am, but the cool thing about being a love interest in this part is that, you know, you have, I don't know how to describe it, I don't have enough time for them. So
right.
It's not like I'm breaking my heart or cutting my veins for these two men. It's more like they're like, hey, and I'm just like, buddy, I got this piece I gotta do, I got this thing, do you want to freaking drive this thing safely, then leave me alone. You know, it's very empowering, like, you don't need, I'm not in need of their love to continue my storyline. So
well,
it's
kind of
like
in this
really
movie,
great.
I mean,
last question.
You're involved with the lead guy, you're the lead too,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it's just a side thing, you know, the main purpose of you is to survive.
Exactly, to survive and to support him, not only emotionally, but also physically, and we protect and help each other, how a normal, real relationship is,
mm-hmm.
you know, and now
without
you're...
the bloodshed.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah.
Or something in your head.
A bomb about to take, yeah.
Well, it's nice to see a Latina, obviously.
Yeah.
Lead, so, you know, it was very nice. I mean, what was the audition process like?
The audition process was cool. I walked in, I met Greg, and I did three scenes for him. And he was wonderful. We chatted for about 30 minutes, and then I left. And I really thought that I was going to go back in the room and probably audition a couple more times. You know, it's, James Gunn is involved. Mm-hmm. And no, I got the call. They told me they liked me, and then I got the job, and I couldn't have been happier. I was like, all right, when am I going to Colombia?
Thank you. ¿El tatuaje es verdadero o es parte del maquillaje que te pusieron en la película?
Ah, no.
Okay.
It's fake.